You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Mike Filey's Toronto, Sunday afternoons at 12:30 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Winter's white in people's city. The green ravines make summer pretty. When leaves start to turn, then the rain when you learn that you're in Toronto, that's People City.
That's where we are. It all makes sense now. People City is our theme, and the name of the show is Mike Filey's Toronto. I'm Gene Stevens. Hello, Mike.
I'm the other half. The other part thereof.
Well, this is Zoomer Radio, AM 740, and every Sunday afternoon at this time, famous Toronto historian and Toronto Sun columnist Mike Filey tells us stories of our city's past, and every now and then it includes some great people who helped build this city.
Yeah, you recall last week we talked about Lowell Salmon, and I made a kind of an oblique reference to his modern-day contemporary, a fellow by the name of Honest Ed Mirvish.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, isn't that interesting that I would say his name back then, because it was July the 24th, which means it will be next Monday, back in 1914, the late Honest Ed Mirvish was born.
Well, in a couple of days, actually. Today's the 22nd, so in a couple of days.
July.
Yeah.
Is when he was born. He passed away, as everyone will recall, July the 11th of 2007, at 98 years old. What a great guy. And what I'm going to do is, as we go through, I'll give you a brief rundown on his background, how he got here and so on. But there's a couple of interesting stories he's left with me as we chatted over the years.
Can't wait to hear about them. Honest Ed Mirvish, and we're noting his birthday, July 24th, 1914. And for that reason, I had to go back to 1914 and find a big song from that summer. Here's kind of a cute tune from Billy Murray. That's got nothing to do with Ed, but the song is called He's a Devil in His Own Hometown. That's the name of the song.
I've got an uncle by the name of Jerry. He's got a farm, a great big farm, 2,000 acres of the very, very best land in the whole United States. He's got a reputation in the village, known as a dude, a gosh darn dude. He would never do in New York City, but in his hometown, he's a devil, he's a devil. He's a devil in his own hometown. On the level, he's as funny as a clown. He spends a 5-cent piece, thinks nothing of it, his pants all creased, red vest above it, and when it comes to women, oh, he's a devil, he's a devil, telling stories in a grocery store. On the level, has them rolling on the floor. Down at the fair, with all the other heckers, he received first prize for playing checkers, and he cheated. Can you beat it? He's a devil in his own hometown. He's got an overcoat that's fine and furry, gold-headed cane that came from Spain. They've even got him saying, I should worry. Just like all the sporty city folks, you ought to see the way he spends his money. He bought a box of hole-proof socks. They would never do for New York City, but in his hometown, he's a devil, he's a devil. He's a devil in his own hometown. On the level, he's as funny as a clown. He spends a 5-cent piece, thinks nothing of it, his pants all creased, red vest above it, and when it comes to women, he's a devil, he's a devil, telling stories in a grocery store. On the level, has them rolling on the floor. In Philadelphia, he had a high old time. He stayed out one night till a quarter past nine. He's a devil, he's a devil, he's a devil in his own hometown.
Billy Murray, the top star of that era, 1914, and a huge song for him called He's a Devil in His Own Hometown. This is Mike Filey, a bit of a devilish sort himself. And our first story is all about a great angel of our city, Ed Mervish.
Yeah, I was going to say, before the lawyers pick up the phone and start calling you, we're not referring in that song
at all.
No. Now, if it was He's an Angel in His Own Hometown.
Yep. You got it.
That would have fit. Okay, Honest Ed Mervish, actually born in Colonial Beach, Virginia.
Toronto is not his hometown, technically.
No, no. So,
adopted home.
Adopted home, that's right. His birth name was Yehuda. But one of the members of the family said, wait, that doesn't really have an American or a North American ring to it. We're going to change it. And it's not Ed as in Edward. It's Edwin was his original name. Edwin. So it's actually Honest Edwin's down on Bloor Street. Anyway, the family moved to Washington, where his dad opened a grocery store, went bankrupt. Then they decided to move to Toronto. And I was never able to find out why they selected Toronto and not Winnipeg or Vancouver, or even why they came across the border, unless that bankruptcy thing had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that I'm not sure about. Anyway, they opened a grocery store here on Dundas Street, and everything was going swimmingly until his father died. Now, Ed's got to do something to keep the family going, because he really becomes the breadwinner of the family at that point. He tried a number of things, and I mentioned a couple of stories that he told me, not really in confidence, but there were stories that stuck in my mind. For instance, he had a good friend by the name of Yale Simpson, who I got to know as well. Yale lived here in North Toronto, and we chatted a while, and he was telling me the story about he and his friend Ed Mervish deciding they go into the dry cleaning business, and they opened a place called Simpson's. Which started to get them into trouble, because you can imagine the Robert Simpson people said, whoa, wait a minute, we're Simpsons. And apparently Ed Mervish very quickly said, well, wait a minute, show me your Simpson. And the Simpson people, of course, Robert Simpson had died years and years before that. They said, well, we don't really got one. And Ed said, well, here's mine.
Oh, Yale interesting. Interesting. So he won that one for the little guy.
Yeah, he stick-handled around that. And I guess he did that kind of thing throughout his life. He then went on to work with a fellow by the name of Leon Weinstein in the produce department of a power store up at the corner of St. Clair and Bathurst. So he actually worked as a young man very close to where the store that he's known for today would eventually open. And that was 1948 when he moved down to the Bloor Street corner. And it was at the Bloor Street corner that where he had met his wife. They decided to open a place that they called the Sport Bar. And the Sport Bar, over the years, evolved into what's called Honest Ed's. Mm-hmm. Today, we call it Honest Ed's.
Wow.
One more story that he told me, and I will never forget this story. I said, well, how did a sports store and then a discount store, Well, I'd go down to Lower Spadina, and I'd buy seconds, things away from fires or second stuff that nobody was buying. I'd buy it, bring it up, sell it for a reduced price, and make some money. And I said, well, what about Lower Spadina? What was it like in those days? He said, well, I can remember buying my stuff from a guy who said he was a diesel fitter. And all of a sudden, he's got my attention, because a diesel fitter? What's that, cars or trucks? What's that got to do with Lower Spadina? He said, no. This guy, he would take clothing, women's clothing, and hold them up to ladies and say, diesel fitter.
Oh, God. I didn't see that one coming. You had me.
But that was it. I mean, those stories. And, of course, then he went out with Royal Alexander, the Prince's wife. There's all kinds of stories. Yeah. We could go for an hour, except we'd probably hear about it, about Ed and his times here in Toronto. But I'll always remember him. And it's hard to believe that it was 5 years ago that he passed away. I remember the funeral service on Bathurst Street. It was packed.
Much loved adopted son of Toronto, and a real rags to riches story in his own life.
Yeah, it's one of those I'd love to sat with him for hours and hours. He has a couple of books out that have been ghosted, but you got to really talk to somebody in person to get those little stories that never really make it into print or don't translate really in print the way they do when you sit down and you just chat about growing up at the corner of Bloor and Bathurst, as I did.
As you did, exactly. You know wherever you speak.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Mike Filey's Toronto continues as we move on to 1955 next.
When on vacation, unexpected costs can sneak up on you. With the comprehensive travel insurance program for CARP members, you're never left out at sea. Buy before September 30th and swim away with big savings. Because insurance without proper coverage is like having no insurance at all. So call 1-877-851-4515 or visit carpinsurance.ca.
The travel insurance program for CARP members is underwritten by the Manufacturers Life Insurance Company. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Whether 3 weeks or just one day, the perfect way to get away is with Great Canadian Holidays. Experience unforgettable sightseeing, luxurious casino resorts, fantastic shopping destinations, plus hockey and baseball getaways. See so much more and have more fun with Great Canadian Holidays. For your free brochure, visit GreatCanadianHolidays.com.
Walk the line and enter the golden age of country music with Johnny and June, live on stage at the Drayton Festival Theater. This alluring tribute to the Man in Black features all his greatest hits, including Ring of Fire, Folsom Prison Blues, Boy Named Sue, Peace in the Valley, and many more. Don't miss Johnny and June, July 25th through August 11th at the Drayton Festival Theater. Reserve your seats today. Call 519-638-5555 or visit DraytonEntertainment.com.
On Saturday, July 28th, award-winning Clayson Homes and Geranium Homes invite you to Woodstock's The Villages at Sally Creek. With the first phase of the Sally Creek Recreation Center now open, the time is right to discover adult living at its best from the mid-200s.
Join AM 740's Norm Edwards Saturday, July 28th from 2 to 4 for the grand opening of The Villages at Sally Creek's new recreation center. Visit online claysomehomes.com or geraniumhomes.com.
Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
One, two, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hon. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes two, three, and four.
Radio, AM 740, and Mike Filey's Toronto with the song that started it all. There it is, the beginning of the rock and roll era, the first rock and roll song to go to number one. It was the summer of 1955, Bill Haley and the Comets.
Well, I chased it down. I wanted to find out where that movie would have played here in Toronto. And surprisingly, I thought it might have been at one of the around-the-corner places, you know, out of the way. Not the big theaters, but it actually was premiered at Lowe's, which today is the Elgin Winter Garden Theater.
Now, the movie, of course, we're talking about is not Rock Around the Clock, which came out a couple of years later, but The Blackboard Jungle.
The song comes from.
That's right, that featured Rock Around the Clock and thus became a huge hit.
What's a blackboard?
Oh, come on now. You went to school, didn't you?
I remember.
Didn't you get chalk thrown at you by the lovely science teacher?
What's chalk? Anyway, when I got into 55, I thought, you know what people are doing right about now is deciding, they've either decided, they're about to decide what to do for their holidays. Where are they going to go? They're going to go up north and maybe see the SS Keewatin at Port McNichol, or maybe they're going to go, you know, someplace. One place I won't go is, of course, to London, England. Boy, I can't squeeze in there. It's full. So I went to the travel pages back on this very day in 1955. And the kind of things that people could do, with a Labor Day weekend not too far in the future, there was a big ad put in the paper by Oxley Tours. Now, I remember Oxley Tours. They were very, very big here in Toronto, but they had a whole list of things you could do. For instance, we mentioned Colonial Beach, Virginia, where Ed Mervish was born. Mm-hmm. Back in 1955, you could take an eight-day trip, which would include accommodation and food, 8 days to Colonial Virginia for $71.
Oh, my gosh.
Or, here's another one.
Unbelievable.
Do you want to go to for a cruise down into the Caribbean? How about to Jamaica? Here's something. Round-trip transportation, fine hotels, most meals and transfers, 9 to 12 days, $350 and up. $350.
Amazing.
One more, because I wanted to take. We've been to Bermuda several times. Mm-hmm. We love Bermuda, so we could go back in 1955. This was an air tour for 7 days to Bermuda, $215, all in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't want to talk about what you were making in 1955 because everything's relative. You know, I mean, these prices aren't amazing, but remember how little folks made in those days.
Yeah, the paper was a nickel. I mean, compare that to, what is it today, a buck or whatever it is.
Thank you for the trip back to the summer of 1955, Mike.
Okay.
All right. Up next, we go to our third and final story on today's show, and it's from 1976. We got a great song that was sitting at the top of the charts that day. Next.
Motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Afternoon delight.
AM 740 and a one-hit wonder went right to the top of the charts in the summer of 76, the Starland Vocal Band, an afternoon delight. This is Mike Filey's Toronto and our own delightful historian, Mike Filey.
Delightful.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never been called that before.
I just did.
Full, perhaps, but not do you. Anyway, you recall last week, and I did it in my Sun column, a story about Queen and Spadina and what's going on down there. They've got the intersection closed, and I talked in my column about the history of the Spadina streetcar line, which goes back to the horse car era. And what it prompted, interestingly enough, was somebody who reads both my Sun column and listens to the show said, oh, that's all very nice, but what about the streetcar line that I remember where I lived? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, which one's that? And he said, the Mount Pleasant streetcar.
Oh, now, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I wonder how many people do remember the streetcar that used to trundle up and down Mount Pleasant between St. Clair at the bottom end and Eglinton at the top end.
Yeah.
And so what I thought I'd do is I'd do him a favor. Mm-hmm. I said, I will do you a favor, sir, because you listen to both and you read my other, I'm going to do a quick history of that line because it's fascinating for people who live in that area. It's become very gentrified now. It's, you know, lots of little restaurants and so on Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
But it actually goes back to 1921 when it was a field. Hmm. There was nothing, quite literally, because the photographs show north of Mount Pleasant Cemetery. And all the way up, it was basically countryside until...
You mean the Davisville area and Davisville up to
Eglinton?
Yeah, Edmonton?
Yeah.
Really?
In fact, there was a slaughterhouse at the corner of Davisville and the future Mount Pleasant Road.
Wow.
If you can imagine. So what happens is the TTC decide they'll put a bus in to see if anybody will ride it. And it gets a little busy and a little busier, and they come up with the first, and I don't know if you know this terminology, trackless trolley.
No.
No? But if I say trolley bus.
Sure.
Yeah, same thing, although in the early days, back in 21, 22, they didn't call them trolley buses, they called them trackless trolleys.
Okay.
Because they were trolleys with electricity, but there were no tracks.
Yeah, they were buses.
Yeah.
They could go anywhere, as long as their antenna, or whatever it's called,
trolley poles,
stayed close enough to the...
I'm going to train you in the vernacular.
I think I need it.
Anyway,
the bus's antenna. Yeah, right, Gene.
I'll have to buy you a book. Mine. Okay, so we now, what are we going to do? Well, things get busier and they put the streetcar down. Now, the streetcar goes in 1925 and it stays until 1976.
Ah.
And in fact, on July the 24th, so that's an anniversary coming up, they ended the Mount Pleasant streetcar. That's the one that ran from the subway at St. Clair, across St. Clair, up Mount Pleasant to the Eglinton Loop.
Right.
But there's a glitch in the middle there because if you know the Beltline Bridge, that's the one at the cemetery, they have to rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
And the TTC says, well, wait a minute, if you're going to rebuild the bridge, it's going to cost us a fortune to put the track on it. Let's get rid of them. Get rid of the track. Get rid of the streetcars. And, of course, the neighborhood goes nuts. They don't want to lose their streetcar. So the TTC in its wisdom says, okay, we'll keep it. And you know what happened?
What?
When people weren't looking, out came the tracks. It was done literally on the QT. I mean, all of a sudden, there are these trucks in there ripping up rails.
Wow. In the dead of night, they stole the tracks.
That's right. And put the streak out the next day. No place to go.
Wow.
Because the tracks were all gone. Down goes the trolley bus.
Yeah.
And now we have buses. But it's an interesting part of the TTC's history because they did it and they didn't tell anybody.
All right, there you have it. The mystery solved on Mike Filey's Toronto. And here's a mystery. It's 1976, and yet the Beatles are still on the charts. They had broken up 6 years earlier, but they re-released one of their oldies, and it went right into the top 10. Here's the song by the Beatles from 76.
I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find there. Another road where maybe I could see another kind of mind there. Then I suddenly see you, ooh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life? You didn't run, you didn't lie, you knew I wanted just to hold you. And had you gone, you knew in time we'd meet again, for I had told you.
I do? What can I be when I'm with you? I wanna stay there. If I'm true, I'll never leave, and if I do, I know the way there. Ooh, and I suddenly see you. Ooh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life?
And they're the Beatles from 1976, long after they broke up. Gotta Get You Into My Life. This is Mike Filey's Toronto. Almost time to wrap it up here on AM 740.
Well, one last thing. A couple of weeks ago, we did a story about the California Galaxy. That was the Air Canada Flight 621 crash just north of Woodbridge.
Yeah.
And there were comments over the years about doing some sort of memorial. Well, I got through to Michael Halls, who's the executive assistant to Susan Fennell, who's the mayor of Brampton. Mm-hmm. And they confirm that come the summer of next year, they're working on it right now, there's a major development going on the site of the crash near McVean and Castlemore. And I guess this time next year, there will be a memorial garden laid out and dedicated to the 109 victims of the Air Canada crash back in 1976, was it? Air Canada Flight 621.
Yeah, the worst.
Flights 1971, sorry.
Worst crash in Toronto history.
Absolutely, right. And one of the worst in certainly Canadian aviation history.
Well, thanks for that follow-up. Good stuff. That's Mike Filey's Toronto on AM 740. More stories of Toronto's past